Bandwidth for this podcast is provided by CacheFly at cachefly.com. This is the iPhone Alley Podcast, episode 43 for June 1st, 2009. Talking about the Yeti, part 2. This episode is sponsored by Audible. For your free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPhone. Welcome to the iPhone Alley Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show where we discuss all things iPhone, the iPod Touch sometimes, iTunes, all that stuff. Tonight we are here with Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
Fantastic. And you?
I am doing excellent. Wait, this is an iPhone podcast. Crap, I thought this was a Star Trek podcast. I was all ready to talk about, like, Romulans and stuff.
We can talk about Star Trek, but I think we'd lose our listeners. And, I guess we'd gain some different listeners.
That's how nature works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how my Twitter works. I lose followers every day, but then I keep going down, so it doesn't work that way, actually.
Well, Michael, I think the thing is, following you on Twitter is a lot like going past a car wreck where people just, they're compelled to slow down and look.
Yeah. I
mean that with love.
Oh, of course you do. Yeah. I have a really good, I kind of synthesize that idea. Following my Twitter is a lot like watching a bird try to fly through a window. It's not really working, but you're just drunk enough to keep watching. Yeah.
This is going to be a really long show, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And Adam Christensen's here. He's not happy that he's here. From the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
I'm absolutely happy that I'm here.
Oh, fantastic. I thought you were just face-palming throughout the entire intro.
I was just waiting for my invite in.
To start talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been cold here, though. Oddly enough,
California. You're out in the Bay Area.
San Diego.
Yeah,
it's normally warm and sunny, and it's been, you know. And when I say cold, I mean, geez, we're down in the mid 60s.
Oh, boo hoo!
It's like the new frackin ice age.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get down to it. Let's talk about the photos that were posted on a blog yesterday, a Hong Kong blog, Really cool photos of the next iPhone's interface doing some interesting things, such as taking autofocus photos. Basically, that works out after reading through the awful translation provided by Google. There's a little blue rectangle that indicates where the iPhone is focusing on, and you can actually move that around and tell it to focus on a different part of the screen. So that's cool. And they actually showed a comparison photo between, I think, taking a very a photo of something that's very dark. I think it's a speedometer in a car at night. And so one of the new iPhone with autofocus and one without. And I think the difference is pretty significant. Yeah, going back and forth, it's pretty cool.
You know, when I first saw those pictures, I was all excited because I thought that the speedometer meant that I could use my iPhone to tell me how fast I'm going.
I think it can't it? Now with a compass and the GPS. I don't know, you're the expert on all that stuff, at least you claim to be.
You know, you can use a GPS to tell you how fast you're going.
Okay, yeah.
And a lot of GPSs actually have that function built in. So there's no reason why you couldn't add that to the iPhone.
You know, I think that is actually in there right now. If you download the right app, it'll show you how fast you're going.
I apparently just haven't gone looking for the right app yet.
Yeah, so where did you first see these photos? Because I know we were the first ones to put them up, and then some other blogs who will remain nameless decided to not credit us with that.
Oh, that's pretty crappy of them, because the nameless site is where I saw them first.
Mm. Okay,
but that's probably only because of the way my RSS feeds were coming in.
Yeah, you don't have iPhone Alley in there. You don't like us. But that was a joke.
So
that was
a joke. You've been hacking into my computer now. What the hell?
So now I know. You have a big note on your desktop that says, "Don't read that stupid site by that kid."
I know every time that I see something new show up in my iPhone Alley RSS feed, I think, crap, do I have to go look at that again?
That awful, awful site. Yeah, so there's a CPU activity, like an activity monitor type thing in there. I think that's just for the prototype as they're working through things. And they also show off MMS being done, sending a photo, which is nothing really that new. I think there's a little addition to the stocks application as far as real dollars, real worth of the stock. Voice memos, just looking through. Yeah. So I think the big thing, the coolest thing to me was seeing the compass interface.
Yeah, the compass is kind of cool looking because that's exactly what I would expect a compass to look like and exactly not what I've ever seen on a GPS interface.
Yeah, so do you think we're going to be getting turn-by-turn directions in the Maps app? I'm betting yes, totally.
I don't know. I'm torn on that one. And what has me torn is that it would be very, very easy for Apple to do, but they've also talked about how other companies can make their own mapping and GPS applications.
That would be kind of lame of them to be like, yeah, you can do it now, but oh, look, we have
but we already did.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we will have turn by turn. It's just a matter of which company is giving it to us.
Mm-hmm. I'm still betting on Apple. At least I live in this, you know, we've talked about this before, this crazy fairy tale land with, you know, mythical creatures and Steve Jobs, where everything, all my wishes come true. And so we're talking about Apple, so that doesn't actually happen.
No. You know, I have to admit, I'm really disappointed because I thought that Apple was calling you for product designs. And now I'm finding out that's not the case.
Yeah, they used to, but, you know, they were all done in MS Paint. And they don't really like bitmaps that were drawn, you know, with the airbrush tool. I guess it's not too accurate or whatever. So, yeah. But do we want to talk about the comparison photo of the matte and the current iPhone case? It looks cool. I'm pretty sure, and I keep trying to give you guys credit for this. I think you posted the photo of that new casing first back in February, I think.
I think it was February. It's been a long time now.
Yeah, so it's just a side-by-side. It's nothing new. It's just kind of a side-by-side confirming that was probably not just a fake thing because it's obviously a different photo showing one iPhone with the matte casing and one with a shiny casing, and I have to say I really like the matte casing now that I see it side by side.
You know, I'm a big fan of matte on cases as opposed to the glossy, just because it hides my crappy fingerprints so much better.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's why you get the white iPhone, but that's why I got it. That and I love white.
You know, one thing about this case, now that we have the comparison side by side, and we also have the whole thing with the whichever company it was that leaked that the 16 gig iPhone was end of life.
Right. Yeah.
If you notice the photo that we published and the photos that are available now show the matte iPhone as a 16 gigabyte iPhone.
Well, isn't I think they were saying that the 16 gigabyte 3G was end of life, not the new one, right?
Right. I just find it very interesting that the case says 16 gigabyte when everyone is hoping beyond hope that it's actually a 32 gigabyte phone.
That we'll see a 32?
Right.
Yeah.
And we may very well, because this is just one case.
Right. This photo was taken, well, the initial casing, and maybe the guy has the same case when he took this photo. It was, you know, fairly early, and Apple probably hadn't gotten around to throwing in a 32 gig because I think we all agree that the reason they, you know, weigh down the certain capacities is because of price. So maybe they just hadn't made that version yet.
Yeah, that could be. But I just wanted to point that out so I could kind of stir up the rumor pot and and get everyone all hot and bothered.
Mm-hmm. I'm certainly hot and bothered. I don't know what that means, but it sounded good. Do we want to talk about the Palm Pre and how it's going to sync with iTunes? I'm calling crap on that, or it's not going to last very long. Is this a... I think this is because of John Rubinstein being on the team. And then I guess the second question is, how fast will Steve Jobs send his minions down to destroy him?
First off, I want to point out, I think Adam fell asleep.
I think so, too.
I was just going to see how long I could go without having to say anything in this episode.
Was this a social experiment?
I think we made it about 20 or 30 minutes.
It was an experiment, huh?
You know, I was just going to keep going, and it was going to be an experiment on my end too, to see how long it would take before you jumped in.
If I had called your name, would you have jumped in?
Yes, I would have called. I was just waiting to see if you'd call on me.
Okay, Adam, this is your story.
Kid that never got picked, and well, wait, now I'm having flashbacks.
Aww.
Okay, hold on, I'm okay.
I feel your pain. I was that kid too.
I think if we're talking into our computers, we have all been that kid.
We've all been that kid. No, so yeah, I saw that. I mean, I actually tweeted about the iTunes thing, and with the Palm Pre, and you know, I think it's cool. I think it probably, if it is true, then it probably has a lot to do with the Rubinstein's involvement. I guess Palm said it's true, right? Did that come from Palm, or where was the source of that?
Yeah, that came from Palm.
Yeah. So I'm assuming it works now. You know, everybody came back out and said, well, Apple's going to, you know, how long till Apple shuts that down or puts out a new version of iTunes that blocks out that feature? So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that one because I think it's really cool. I'd like to see more devices now that iTunes is DRM free. In theory, you should be able to sync over anything to it. So maybe Apple just doesn't care all that much. You know, maybe they're more interested in selling music, and maybe they feel they can take Palm on, you know, head on with the new iPhone, and maybe they're welcoming the competition. I don't know. What would be the advantage for them to lock it out? Why not just open up iTunes? I've often wondered why. I mean, because they make money there. And Jobs always said, you know, that the only reason they had the DRM in there was because they were forced to. It wasn't, you know, he never made it sound like it was to have a closed system so they could monopolize the market. Now, whether you believe him or not, you know, who knows? But now that we do have DRM free, you think Apple is going to hold true to their word and just open it up? And maybe the Palm is the first device they're kind of letting in there. And Rubinstein, you'd think, would be the guy to be able to do it because he has relationships with the people at Apple and he knows about the engineering of iTunes, I'm sure, inside and out.
You know, it would make sense as far as keeping the European Commission happy, because then they'd have a tangible way of saying, look, we're doing everything we can to have everything as open as possible. It's the damn record labels that are screwing it all up. So that this would be really good for that. Now, on the other hand, I recall Steve Jobs saying at some event, the reason that they have the iTunes store is to sell iPods and not to make money off of the music. So and this was a few years ago. So this is like before the iPod Touch. This might have been back in the iPod Mini days, even. But that it doesn't mean that's the only reason that they have the store active now, because they certainly have grown beyond being a music selling service now that they have TV shows and movies.
But they didn't say that those would sync over, right? They were just talking about music.
Yeah, they just said music.
That stuff is DRM'd.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, yeah, they also did make a point to let everyone know that any content that has DRM protection in it from the iTunes store doesn't sync over.
It'll be
which makes sense because Apple's the only company that legitimately has Fair Play running on the iPod, all that.
Right. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if Apple does not approve of this, how they're going to solve this, because I assume that, you know, on the Palm Pre, they're just saying, hey, I'm an iPod and I have the, you know, the iPod file system set up here. So I think that would be pretty easy to simulate. So I think they'd have to issue an update to all iPods to actually close that down. You know, to kind of say, you know, you have to, you know, say that you're an iPod to iTunes or something. It'll be interesting to see how they close it down. And even if they do.
You know, I just find it hard to believe that Apple didn't know that, you know, had no idea that they were working on this, or that it's somehow sneakily reverse engineered, you know, especially when Palm made such a big deal about it before the phone's even out. Because, you know, if they were flying under the radar, it's like, you know, immediately Apple is jumping on, oh, great, now we've got to go figure out how to close this thing down. So when I saw the announcement, I thought it was, you know, it was obviously believable because it's coming from Palm. And then when everybody started saying, well, Apple's going to shut it down, I thought, you know, really? Do you think Palm would go and announce this big feature on this new phone that they haven't even launched yet, only to kind of alert Apple so that they can have it shut down like the day everybody gets the phone, and then everybody is expecting it to work and it doesn't? You know, why would they open themselves up for that? So when I started thinking about it that way, I'm like, I think they must have worked some sort of deal. And I don't know, you know, what went on behind closed doors, but I have a feeling that it's not going to get locked down. And I'm kind of excited to see it there because, you know, I think it just opens up competition. And I think it's good for Apple. I think it's good for Palm, you know, and at reality, at the end of the day, if you ask me my opinion on the Palm Pre, I think they have a lot of hard work ahead of them. And I'm not sure that they're going to live up to a lot of the hype they've put out there. I hope they do, but I think they might just be, you know, too late to the game. And, you know, and I know a lot of people are excited about it, but I have a feeling it's going to fall short. That's just my gut instinct.
I hope you're wrong.
And I hope I'm wrong too. But yeah. I just, you know, it just feels that way to me. There's just so much riding on this thing. And it's just like, if it has the most minor misstep, it just seems like it's on such thin ice. So I hope they make it.
I hope they do too. I really like the idea of having competition in this market. And I haven't seen anything from Microsoft that I would consider to be viable competition. And so that leaves RIM and Palm. And RIM seems so set in their button-down corporate-style devices that even when they try and cut loose, they still can't make something that feels iPhone. So that leaves Palm with the Pre, and I'm really hoping that the Pre does well, because that just drives the competition even harder. All these companies start making better devices than they're making today, and then as consumers, we win.
I think that's why we're seeing, you know, copy and paste in a lot of the other features now in 3.0.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just have a feeling, you know, the other big challenge Palm has for them, I think, is their network of choice. I know very few people who have Sprint, and, you know, again, unless it's like the iPhone was for AT&T, where it's actually going to convert people over to that network. I guess Sprint's data network might not be that bad from what I understand, but their cell network, I don't know that it's, other than the push to talk or something like that they tout, I don't know a lot of people who really are on Sprint. So I think that's just another battle that they've got to fight.
See, I'm looking at the specs of the Pre, and it looks like they have a 600 megahertz ARM Cortex processor. I think that may be even the same.
And it has an OLED screen, right? Is that right?
Oh, does it?
Did I hear that?
No, that's going to be the Zune HD.
Oh.
That has the OLED screen.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's got the A2DP as well, so that's another thing that we're seeing finally, and 256 megs of RAM, so, and 3 megs pixel. It has a flash, but we're still not sure about, obviously, any of these things with the iPhone, but it looks like a lot of these choices in the Palm Pre have been adopted by Apple in the next iPhone, if the rumors are to be counted on. So, but what I've heard as far as, you know, the Palm Pre from Boy Genius, they say that the keyboard is awful.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah. They're like incredibly small, the keys are, and just not very nice to type on at all.
That's too bad.
That is. Well, I mean, there has to be a shortcoming in this fairy tale world of, you know, Apple winning.
Well, so then the question becomes, though, is at least their on-screen keyboard and the preemptive, you know, correction and stuff like that as good as what Apple's done with the iPhone? Because that could be its, you know, its saving grace. Because it looks like a nicely designed phone. But, I mean, yeah, it looks like it's got the BlackBerry style, the vertical style keyboard, right? So
right,
it's not
yeah.
the big, wide, horizontal one. It's the kind of more cramped, smaller one, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, isn't the the keyboard slides out. I don't think there is a virtual keyboard.
Really?
I'm pretty sure there
is. I just assumed there would be.
It does not include a virtual keyboard.
Wow, because the G1, the G1 just added that too, right?
Haven't they had that the entire time?
Cupcake update, the 1.5?
Yeah, I thought they had that the entire time. I mean,
no, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
It got added in this last rev.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet, and I haven't talked to anybody who's used it, so I don't know if it's any good or not, but they finally did add that because I think, you know, they had suffered some of the same problems.
I need to steal
Although
my
it's
friends.
A vertical horizontal slide out, I think.
Yeah. And that obviously makes sense for a physical keyboard. So, what do we have here? During Fireball, John Gruber posted excerpts from the diary of an App Store reviewer. What did we say our App Store reviewer's name was?
Vinny.
I think he got a hold of Vinny's diary, and it's Adam, did you get a chance to read through any of this stuff?
Because I know read through a little bit of it. Yeah, it's you know very very Gruber-esque, very tongue in cheek, but I know also very kind of spot on in some areas about just you wonder how it's the same stuff we were talking about in the last episode where it's like you wonder how Vinny makes his choices, like, you know, where does Vinny get his authority and where does he get to draw the line on one app and kind of make a different decision on another app, or, you know, how do you, it's just all that same stuff we were gabbing about. So just done in a very Gruber-esque daring fireball fashion.
Yeah. Do we want to, Jeff or Adam, do you want to read a little snippet from that to give the listeners a taste?
I don't have it up in front of me right now.
Oh, here we go. How about if I just read the first paragraph?
Yeah, go for it.
Because that just gives you the whole feel.
Yeah.
Monday, May 11th. Examined a new ebook reader that hooks up to Project Gutenberg as a content source. Doesn't ship with any content, but has default suggestions for classics from F. Scott Fitzgerald and Jules Verne. Nothing dirty, though. Spent a few minutes searching and found the Kama Sutra, which is supposed to be dirty. Closed the office door and started reading.
Yeah. So check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes to that. It's really cool. Really funny. AT&T is supposedly upping their, I guess it not supposedly, they are upping their 3G data network from 3.6 to 7.2 megabits per second.
Yep.
They added additional support for 850 megahertz frequency, which is lower than most, blah, 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 and better at permeating through walls. Which is good, especially for me because I'm in this impenetrable office.
Yeah, you called me earlier before the show, and I could not hear or understand a single word you were saying. I thought you were speaking Spanish at me.
Yeah, I usually do that, so it could have just been I was speaking Spanish and didn't realize it. But yeah,
maybe it's Klingon,
something. I don't know. I'm really
oh, that explains a lot.
I think I may have aphasia, so who knows? I watch too much House. So
on this one, we knew this already, though. I mean, it was pretty well known that they were upgrading to the 7.2 and that their current technology can go even higher than that, I think, right? To like 14.
Yeah, yeah. I remember
something
that.
If they need to.
Yep.
And I believe this was announced right before the D All Things Digital conference was going on. But I think this announcement happened just before the AT&T guys were up on stage there. So they pretty much just confirmed that, yes, we're upgrading the network. We're going to 7.2 now through, you know, until they get their new LTE 4G network up and running in 2011. And I guess they're going to have it rolled out pretty quickly in, you know, throughout the rest of 20 2009 and then finish up in 2010. And the frequency, the higher frequencies, I guess they're focusing on the major metropolitan areas to kind of get better coverage specifically inside buildings. At least that was kind of the information that I read.
As far as I know, it's pretty good in like areas like Chicago. I think they've already started doing that as far as the different frequency that gets through the walls better. But yeah, good stuff. I think that kind of ties right into this next rumor from iLounge that there will be 6 different versions of the next iPhone. There will be 2 different storage capacities that I assume would be the 16 and 32 that we're all hoping for. An enhanced 3G model, so there's going to be a 3.5G, 3.7G, which I don't know. Do you guys know what that's supposed to be?
Well, it's the iPhone Performa 370 and the iPhone Performa 373 and the iPhone Performa 378. Yeah. I'm not buying this one. Apple does not like complex, and this just sounds like, you know, Windows Vista 23 edition thing. I mean, I get where they're going with it in terms of kind of some of the rumors, but I mean, do you guys really buy that Apple would do a phone like that? And just
No.
That's back to, you know, I was joking, but it's literally back to the 90s for Apple computers when they were putting out Performa models. And I think, Jeff, you mentioned, I didn't even realize this, that, you know, the differences were like things in software, and it was like impossible to figure out which model you wanted to buy.
You know, I remember back when Performas were being pushed hot and heavy by Apple.
Oh, I bought one. I had a 575.
Yeah, which actually, that was a very nice Performa. But which software package did it come with? It was different from what came with the 576.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember Macworld magazine ran an article, and it was like a multi-page article trying to explain the differences between the different Performa models, the Quadra models, the Centris models, and there was something else, wasn't there? Oh, there was the LC line was going on at the same time. And that it was insanity trying to sort all that out. And when Steve Jobs came back, he started axing all of that crap out and took everything down to where it was a sleek, streamlined product lineup. And I do not see Apple changing from that model now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're just going to see the quote-unquote enhanced 3G stuff in the next iPhone, just across the line?
Yeah.
Do we know what the capabilities of the current 3G in the iPhone are? Like, can it only go to like 7 or whatever?
You know, my understanding was that for an iPhone to take advantage of the newer speeds that AT&T is rolling out will require new hardware.
Okay.
Even to go to the 7.2?
You know, not being an engineer that understands this stuff that well, I can't say for certainty. But what I've heard is that what the hardware we have today will not work with the 7.2 network stuff that's coming out. It will have to be new hardware. Now, that said, I'm betting one of our listeners at some point will chime in and say, here's exactly how it really is.
Yeah. So anyone out there, let us know and correct us. podcast@iphonele.com. You can email us. I'm scanning through the Wikipedia page and I do not see anything about the actual speed of the 3G network, but.
Well, hold on. I'll go make the entry real quick.
And just say Jeff says in front of it. Yeah,
that's good enough for me.
So I can search for it. So I know what to search for on the page.
Right.
So I'm thinking, you know, we'll still see the black and the white, and the you know, the 16 and 32, and just whatever the new enhanced speed. No 6 different version stuff. That would be insane.
Yeah, I think iLounge totally got it wrong.
Wah wah. Okay. Manufacturers are shipping circuit boards for new iPhone, according to DigiTimes. And I think we all agree that DigiTimes is, you know, spotty in their reputation.
Maybe DigiTimes was iLounge's source.
Yeah. So that's essentially the story there. They don't have any, except for, yeah, high-density interconnect technology thingies in there. So that's cool, I guess. Did we talk about the comparison photo? Yeah, we did. Stuff is leaking out of my brain.
Yeah, well, you have a couple stories in here because there was also the bezel story.
Yep.
You know, that it's a matte black bezel and stuff like that. So there's a couple things about the new design, which I don't know if you guys are in agreement, but consensus seems to be not huge differences in the design. You already mentioned sort of the matte black case. Something I wanted to ask about that is, do you guys know, because I, you know, there's this other rumor floating around about the rubber tire tread back whatever. So is it a rubberized material or is it a metal, you know, just a matte metal? Because I love the metal finish on my first gen iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a matte finish. So as you guys were talking about that matte black.
You're talking about the anodized aluminum.
Exactly. Yeah. I really hope it's more of that style of surface, because I think even Jeff might have mentioned it either last show or a couple shows ago. If it's rubberized, you know, I've tried some silicone cases and rubberized cases, and I hate them because I can't put the iPhone in my pocket, either in my shirt pocket, or I'll even sometimes put it, you know, slide it into the back pocket of my jeans and stuff like that. And if you get a phone call, that thing ain't coming out if it's rubberized at all. Yeah. It's just like glued in there. So I really hope it's that sort of finish. And I think I'd miss the aluminum rim, you know, frame on the front bezel.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd like a matte as much.
I want to see the chrome, even though it gets scratched up. Jeff, you have one of the prototype iPhones. You've been playing with it and using it and hoarding it for a while. So why don't you tell us what kind of back is there?
Yeah, it's exactly what Adam wants. That's what
yes.
It is.
There you go.
You know, I know you guys really like the chrome bezel, but I'm a big fan of that kind of gunmetal bezel that's on the first gen iPod Touch. I think that looked really sharp.
Yeah, that might look okay.
And
again,
like
if it's metal though, if everything's going to rub this rubberized, you know I don't like that material.
If it's all a rubberized plasticky look, it's going to feel cheap. And I don't think that's the way Apple's going to go with the product, especially since they've been touting their environmental track record lately of being green. And replacing that metal bezel with plastic would be a step backwards in their green track record.
I guess because you can't melt down. I mean, you can melt plastic, but not as you can't reuse it as well, I guess. I don't know.
For multiple reasons. I mean, making rubber is just environmentally bad.
True.
You know?
Right.
So they're going to want to... You're kind of right. I hadn't thought about it from that angle, but they're going to want to stick with good recyclable materials, and that's kind of why everything right now is aluminum.
Right. You know, so aluminum body, glass front, and some kind of metal bezel. That would make sense to me.
So you think you like the metal bezel on the first gen iPod Touch though?
I really do.
Okay. I like the one that we have right now, but then again, I'm sure I'll be dazzled by whatever Apple brings out.
That's their magic way.
Magic way. So do we think this is crap then? This rumor here?
The one about the bezel or the
about the bezel, yeah.
Well, it does say it's a metal, or it just says it's a black bezel, right? It doesn't say that it's plastic.
I don't think it says it is plastic.
Yeah, so I'm kind of with Jeff. I mean, if they're doing it in a black that's kind of a gunmetal style finish, I think it's great. That's okay. I like the chrome. I'd miss the chrome, but I could live with that bezel as long as it's not plastic.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
yeah. You know how many people would drop their iPhone and crack that bezel?
What do you guys think about the speaker, the the speaker being so high up on the front. That looks a little odd to me, being that close to the edge.
That's a rendering, though. That's just an artist.
Right, but I mean, that was another part of this rumor, was that the speaker grill, the kind of the earpiece grill, was kind of moved up further.
Oh, yeah. I do see that.
Yeah, I'm not buying that either.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, that just looks off. It just doesn't look like it would be something Apple would put out.
You know, and where the speaker grill is right now, on the first and second gen, it balances out the whole face because you have the centered display area and then the equally sized black bars above and below, and centered below you have the home button, centered above you have the speaker.
Right.
And you have a very nice balance, visual balance. I don't see Apple going all George Lucas on us and making everything asymmetrical. I mean, the Millennium Falcon rocks, but that doesn't work for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where this rumor fell apart for me, more than, you know, that it's going to be a black bezel or some other material. And then this was the same one that also said something about the screen being different, right?
Was it?
It might have been. I can't remember. There's so many damn rumors going around.
LCD components.
I think the difference in the screen was the connector, right? Internal. I think that's what the difference was.
Big deal.
Yeah. You know, what I'm hoping is that the rumors that kind of came and went about an OLED display turn out to be true.
I hope so, too.
That would be very cool, assuming that Apple can keep the price point the same.
Well, I mean, if what held hope for me on that was, like you said, the new Zune HD is supposed to have it, and it's right in that iPhone price range at $200 or $300. So, you know, if Microsoft can get screens for the Zune at a reasonable price, unless they're just taking a huge loss, but we know they're not doing nearly the volume Apple would be with the iPhone with the current Zunes. So if they can get an OLED screen, and I think Apple would really want it for battery reasons.
Right. And they look sweet.
Yeah.
So between the visual thing and then the battery life, I would love to see OLED on the iPhone.
Yeah. It's that'd be very nice to see, to more of an upgrade.
I think it's an outside win, but it would be one of those that would, you know, really be a big announcement at WWDC to say, and it has an OLED screen.
Mm-hmm. So there have been some screenshots found of an iTunes video store for the iPhone. So just like the iTunes store on, you know, that allows you to see music, there have been photos of a movie and TV store, which would be fantastic, especially for TV. I don't know about movies. Is it an actual movie thing too, or just movies?
Supposedly,
and TV?
Yeah.
So I guess, well, Apple, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they put out you download both a standard TV definition sort of file and an iPhone/iPod version of the file when you purchase a movie now?
I think that's when you buy the HD version, yeah.
Okay. So presumably they could, you know, just kind of make an iPhone version and let you get that through there. I like the idea. What do you guys think?
You know, I like the idea of being able to download at least TV shows.
Yeah.
Wirelessly, because it never fails. You end up in an airport where you have Wi-Fi access, and you finish writing all the articles you need to get done, and you want to listen to something else because your flight got canceled again. So why not be able to download a TV show and watch that while you're waiting for your flight?
That would be nice. There's also, as an update to that story, the folks who are being trained in the Apple Care program have said that they definitely covered the direct downloading of movies and TV shows to the iPhone itself. So, and, you know, we also note that AT&T has announced that you know, we'll see the 7.2 megabit per second network. But I don't know if we'll, I'm guessing this is going to be a Wi-Fi only thing.
That would be my bet.
Well, you know, what's funny is, you know, I saw this story and I think it would be great. I think it's the natural next step. You know, we can download music directly to the iPhone. We could download podcasts directly to the iPhone. It would be a natural progression to be able to direct download TV shows and movies. I think it's going to be a Wi-Fi only feature if it is a true download. But what I thought was interesting was about the same time this rumor was coming out, did you guys catch the one about the $1 billion in Apple might spend on a data center in North Carolina? Some sort of huge, like larger than Google, massive data center. I don't know about that larger than Google part, but a big undertaking for Apple. And everybody's like thinking it's a cloud thing, maybe related to Mobile Me. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if Apple was looking at iTunes and iTunes distribution and the iPhone? I think it would be even better if you could buy a TV show and have that stream over 3G or Wi-Fi to the iPhone.
So not necessarily download, but just a stream.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, eventually, and then, you know, let it sync down when you plug back into iTunes or something like that. You pull down the content. You're still purchasing it, but for the iPhone, actually streaming it. And either way, I could see if that ends up being a huge feature, Apple might need more storage, more distribution, more data. I don't know if they'd necessarily centralize it. You probably need to do more Akamai kind of stuff. But this got me thinking about why would Apple be investing so much in a huge data center?
Yeah.
The other reason could be that if they're expecting the notification services to get like out of control, maybe it's related to that as well. But
You mentioned Akamai, and they're still using those guys. Why would they go? What would be the reason to have their own data center if they're going through Akamai?
Yeah, it's counter to that. That's what I was saying. I was almost kind of, that was my only one thing as I was thinking about this is like, well, really, if they're doing streaming, they're going to want to have an edge network and they're going to want to have something that's distributed. So unless it was just sort of kind of sourcing all this material, I don't know how it works with Akamai. Like, I know you start somewhere and you load it and then Akamai kind of distributes it out over its network. So
does Cashfly use Akamai?
I don't know how everybody is subcontracted and stuff like that. It's possible. I mean, Akamai is the biggest and Apple's been using them for years to do QuickTime, you know, distribution, their trailers and things like that. So, but I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Apple's potentially, you know, at least North Carolina, the government there is opening it up to give them a huge tax break if they'll spend $1 billion in their state over the next 9 years building this huge data center. And it's sort of like, well, what are they going to do with that? You know, what's going to be in that data center? And I thought, well, interesting that they might be doing some stuff with video and direct iTunes downloads to cell phones. You know, AT&T is ramping up their network supposedly to handle more traffic to be faster. You know, if I were going to my iPhone, I would want to stream it because same thing with the Apple TV. You know, you can buy the content, but you can watch it within a few minutes. I think you'd want to have that same kind of experience on the iPhone. I don't think you'd be wanting, and you'd want to have it anywhere. It'd be great if you could get it over 3G, and streaming would be the ideal way, or some sort of buffered download. So maybe it's buffered download, and then having a centralized data center might even make even more sense.
You know, the one place in that whole mix where streaming doesn't make sense to me is for travelers that might happen to be at an airport or at a hotel where they can get Wi-Fi and they want to download a TV show or movie to their iPhone so that they can watch it on an airplane. And if you can only stream, now you're limited to Virgin Air Trans is doing Wi-Fi stuff now, and I think there's another one.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. But I mean, how long is it going to take even over Wi-Fi if you have a full movie even compressed for iPhone format? How long are you talking about doing a download for?
That's a good question. Probably longer than you would have at the airport before your flight.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think the last thing to wrap up all the stories for today is one that just came out. That Apple is going to start charging you for wireless downloads, re-downloads of applications. And I was talking with Arn Kim of Mac Rumors a little bit ago, and he had me verify, because I am running 3.0, that it does happen for both promo code redeemed apps and purchased applications. So, and this is very, very recent, like probably today or yesterday.
What does it do?
Basically, you know how right now you can go to the App Store, find an application that you know you've already purchased, hit buy now, and then it'll say you've already purchased this application, hit OK to, you know, download for free now.
Right.
Now, instead of that, it says you've already purchased this. You can re-download it for free on your computer or tap buy to buy it again.
Really?
Yep. And it definitely happens now on 3.0 beta.
Do they charge you on 3.0 beta? Well, does it actually ding your card?
If you hit buy, I assume it does. I didn't really want to try it. I guess I could.
That's bad form. If that's reality, that is bad form on Apple's part, and they should be slapped hard.
Slapped hard. Yeah, I wasn't doing this before with the 3.0 beta. Like I said, it was like in the last couple of days, and it's not happening, as far as I know, on 2.2.1 phones.
Wow. Yeah, that sucks.
It's incredibly convenient to be able to do that. You know, I was, you know, looking around, trying to find the best deals on, you know, whatever in the app, in the actual real store. I was about to say App Store. And I wanted to grab, measures and do some comparisons in different, liters and gallons and all that. And so I just said, oh, well, I don't have that on here. I'll just go to the App Store real quick and download it, and ta-da. And so, that's one of those incredible convenience factors that would be, taken away by this.
I mean, I think it's atrocious they don't let us download our music that we've purchased from the store. They need to be going the other way. This would just be a huge step backwards. They should be opening up more for re-downloading of content. Yeah. You know, and I know everybody's going to cry bandwidth and stuff like that, but I mean, really, how much are we talking about? I mean, how much extra load? I mean, the music might get a little crazy, but I can't imagine that apps are having that much of an impact on, their bandwidth bill. But I mean, maybe times are that tight for Apple. It doesn't seem like it with the amount of cash they have in the bank. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know why it would be in there, turned on like this all of a sudden.
No, I believe that they're probably going to do it, and they're probably going to make some sort of lame business case for it. But I think it's just really, when they're trying to distinguish themselves, and going back to the Palm thing, well, then I hope Palm's store is, and that Palm Pre does even better, and again gives them more competition, because maybe it'll force them back the other way.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just makes me upset, because I agree with you. It's a really nice convenience factor. Sometimes you might not have synced that app because you haven't been using it in a while, and then suddenly you realize you need it again to be able to just re-download it and not have to worry that you're going to have to pay. I mean, and that's going to kill. If I was a developer and I was doing one of the more expensive apps, like a $9.99 or a $20 app, maybe developers like it better, because do they get paid again? Here's the next part of that question. So if I re-download that app, does the developer get their 70% again?
I bet you not.
Really? Why would you say they wouldn't?
Why? Is it another purchase, or is it just
a
convenience
fee?
Charge to re-download?
You would be buying it again. It says, or tap buy to buy again, which is weird. You know, not simply just a please pay us, 30% of whatever that app is.
Can a developer opt out if he wants to?
I don't know. We'll try and get an iPhone.
It seems confusing
developer
and lame. I mean, to have a feature that we've all had and enjoyed, and it sounds like we've all used before, to have that just taken away in a software update is just lame. I'm just calling lame.
Yeah, lame. Lame.
Yeah, lame. Calling lame on it. If Apple really want... If Apple's reasoning is people are using too much of the bandwidth to download stuff that they've already downloaded before, all right, why not just drop that cap down that you have for 3G downloads? Because isn't it like if it's 10 megs, you have to download it from Wi-Fi as opposed to 3G? Right. All right, drop that down so it's lower. And then you're cutting out another chunk of applications that are going to eat up that bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe everybody's re-downloading Mist and that freaked them out.
I mean,
I can see that.
Well, here's the weird thing. You can re-download it for free on your computer. So they don't, that implies that they don't necessarily care about actually using their servers.
Bandwidth. Yeah, exactly.
It would, if anything, imply that they don't want you downloading on AT&T's network. Now, if you're on Wi-Fi, it shouldn't be an issue. So it's very strange.
But if I'm on Wi-Fi at Starbucks on my phone, though, they're still going to charge me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was trying this on Wi-Fi.
Or on my home network.
Oh, you were on Wi-Fi, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's even weirder because I'm on my home network. So if I'm sitting in my living room, I'm on my iPhone, and I want to download that app on my own Wi-Fi, they're going to say, you got to buy it again. But if I walk over to my Mac, you know, 20 feet away, mm-hmm. I can download it.
Yep.
And not get charged.
Yeah. Weird.
Yep, that's lame.
Lame.
All right. Well, I think that's all we have to say about iPhone Yeti news this week, unless you have something to add. So let's move on to our iPhone picks. And before we do that, we'll talk about Audible. They are the sponsor of the iPhone LA podcast this month, and we thank them for that. You can go to audiblepodcast.com/iPhone and get a free trial account to Audible Listener Gold, 14 days. You get a free credit to download a book, and most books are only one credit, and they have 60,000 titles. They're professionally read, and they play on iTunes, your iPod, and of course on your iPhone. They're fantastic, and they have that great new enhanced quality that sounds like a CD, which I keep talking about because I think it's fantastic to hear, you know, the better quality audiobooks in there. And so yeah, if you like podcasts, honestly, you would really, if you're lazy like me and don't get a lot of reading done and still want to claim that you read books, you can say that you read books as long as you listen to them on Audible. So, which is what I do. That's reading a book, right? I mean, you're getting the knowledge of it. Maybe you're falling asleep to it, not actually hearing any of it. I don't know. That's what happened. I have an Audible pick this week. And Jeff, I promise that you'd roll your eyes at this one. It's David Allen's Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity.
I should really get around to reading that.
Have you not?
No, I never read it.
It's the popular thing to do, right? GTD is a big fad on the interwebs these days.
Yes, yes it is.
Adam, have you read it?
Here's how good I am at getting things done. So I have the book. I've read about two chapters of it. I have the Audible audiobook version.
Is it the unabridged?
Unabridged. I've listened to about two chapters.
So I noticed, did you like fall asleep?
No. It's just I'm horrible at getting things done. And apparently even when I'm trying to learn how to get things done, I can't even get that far into it. So that's just how pathetic I am.
Well, I know that I think it was 2008 Macworld. I was getting ready to fly out to, and I was very tired because it was early in the morning and I got maybe an hour of sleep, as I think works out for everybody when they fly
pretty
out
much
somewhere. And so I thought, hey, I'll start listening to this, and boy, I can't tell you how fast I fell asleep listening to it. And that's not a diss to the book itself. It was just, it's very, well, if you get the unabridged version, you'll want to, you know, I think it's like 7 hours, and he takes you through a lot of scenarios and really holds your hand through the entire figuring out what, you know, getting things done truly is. But if you want the down and dirty, you can get the abridged version. I know you usually don't recommend abridged versions for Audible because, you know, you want to get the most for your trial. But, you know, the abridged version's very to the point of all the stuff. So you may want to check that out, or you can check out before you get the book to see if, you know, get your feet wet and see if GTD is for you. You can search for, David Allen, Getting Things Done in, the YouTube, and he actually spoke at Google. And so that's a half an hour video. And if that appeals to you, then definitely check out his book in Audible. And so that's what I'm working on. I'm actually reading through the book. Like Adam did. I read, you know, the first couple chapters of the actual book to kind of get the gist of how to use my OmniFocus really. And then at some point I realized I wasn't really using it properly. So I'm kind of going back through and changing all my, you know, next actions to projects, because I kind of didn't understand that, the whole difference between those.
See, that's why I moved to Things, because it's not quite as rigid. It can be as rigid to the GTD format that you want, and or not. And yeah, so since I never got through the book, I had real trouble with OmniFocus, which is a great app.
Yeah.
Very cool. But I struggled with OmniFocus because I kind of roughly understood the concepts. So
yeah, you could make the argument certainly that, you know, I personally think the GTD, you know, if you're not doing it the GTD way, you're not doing it correctly, you know, because it's all about the next action that you can do instead of projects, because
I thought it was about getting things done.
Yeah. Well, you can't do a project. You can only do an action that is associated with a project. And see, I've been reading the book.
Thanks to Audible.
Thanks to Audible.
You know, the great thing about GTD is that it really helps people that don't know how to categorize and prioritize the tasks that they need to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. So
And that's what it's great at. Now, for me, I've been so busy categorizing and completing tasks that I'm working on that I moved GTD very low on my list, which I guess is kind of ironic when you think.
Well, there are different things that you can be doing throughout a day. You can be doing your predefined actions. You could be doing actions as they come in, or you could be defining things. So you're, I guess, doing things as they come in, which is fine.
And I have a lot of things that are predefined.
Yeah.
But one of my mottos in life is Semper Gumby, which means always flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have my...
That's a good motto.
And it's worked well for me for years. So, of course, I have all my static, or not static, but pre-planned tasks that need to be accomplished on a specific day. But invariably, my day will change.
Uh-huh. And that's part of the GTD thing, too.
And
I sound
that's
like
part
I'm freaking David Allen or something. But
And you've been listening to the GTD podcast, sponsored by Audible.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one other thing to add in there, because you were saying, you know, don't look at, you know, you don't do a whole bunch of defining actions and all that because you're busy doing stuff. There's Merlin Mann was talking about, I think it was his Inbox Zero thing at Google. And one of his slides said, don't just take orders, make sandwiches.
You know, I'm going to go off task or off subject a little bit here and talk about Inbox Zero.
Okay, do it.
Okay, Merlin Mann is brilliant with the way he looks at all of this.
Oh, yes.
But I do not subscribe to Inbox Zero.
Oh, neither do I. Well, I don't do it. I wish I did.
Well, okay, I don't subscribe to Inbox Zero because I don't care what's in my inbox. Mm-hmm. And that's because I'm using mail and smart folders. And so I have mail automatically prioritizing my messages for me. And so all I care about are the messages that are showing up in the various smart folders that I've created in mail. And so I can go and check things throughout the day and make sure that I'm staying on top of the messages that I need to be paying attention to. And whatever's in my inbox, I don't care.
So, I mean, have you watched the entire video, the Inbox Zero?
No, I got partway through it. And
He actually talks about that kind of stuff. He talks about, you know, using filters and smart things, smart ways of going through email. And if you can use those kind of filters, then put, you know, other stuff off that doesn't necessarily fall within the parameters of those, and, you know, doing it like that, like what you do. So
yeah, and that's how I'm using mail. And so my actual inbox, there's probably a couple thousand emails in each of the inboxes that I have.
See, that makes
because
me
I have several email addresses.
That makes me sad, Jeff. Although I have 500 right now that I need to inbox zero one of these days.
But you know, it doesn't matter. There could be 10,000 in that inbox, and it doesn't matter.
Well, for you, I'm not smart with what I do.
All right. Well, okay. So maybe we should start working on some inbox zero for you. We'll start making some tasks in your getting things done list about that.
Okay. Yeah, I can take some orders and not make some sandwiches.
But you could always order a sandwich and have it delivered while you're making orders for someone else.
That sounds delicious.
I bet it is.
Okay. So audiblepodcast.com/iPhone, that entire, 20 minutes long? That was brought to you by Audible. Support us by supporting Audible. And with that, let's talk about our iPhone application or maybe product picks. Adam, would you like to go first?
Oh, I'll go first, but are you going to pick OmniFocus then?
I've already picked that.
Oh, bummer.
I think that was my first pick as soon as the App Store was out.
Yeah, I was struggling with this one because I've downloaded some sort of app in the last week or so, and this time I didn't, but I realized that today I was on Brightkite and I was looking at the kind of people around me, and somebody had eaten at this restaurant called The Money Pit, and they said they had something called a ring dog, and they had a picture of this hot dog inside onion rings, like smothered with barbecue sauce. And I'm like, oh, that looks really, really good. And I've never heard of this restaurant before. It's supposedly near me. So I popped over, and my pick is going to be the Yelp app, which is awesome for finding restaurants, hotels, you know, anything in your area. I love Yelp's reviews. I rely on them fairly heavily, especially when I'm trying to discover new places to eat and whether they're good or not. And I would say for me, 80-90% of the time, they're kind of dead on with my opinions, just with their like star ratings. But to be able to flip through and do their reviews, and the nearby feature, you know, find location in there is really nice. And it's one of those apps that I use a lot that I often forget about because it's just one of those utility apps that I have on my iPhone. And it's like, oh, have you ever eaten at this place, or have you ever heard of that place? And I want to know, you know, well, is it good? What do other people think of it? I'll just pop open Yelp and check out the reviews, and the maps are good. You know, it links over to Google Maps. The phone numbers are right there if I want to call. And it's just one of those handy apps that I, you know, utilize a lot but have never mentioned before. So that's my pick this week.
Cool. I haven't tried it, but I will possibly download it and check it out. I don't know how many reviews and all that are in my area.
A lot. I mean, have you ever used Yelp?
Not the website? Really. I just assumed it was San Francisco.
No, it's everywhere. And what's great is it's local reviews. I mean, it's kind of like people doing the reviews, so anybody can go in there and post a review. And
okay.
Generally, they're very good. And the people that review on there write pretty well, and it'll tell you how many reviews they've done, so you can kind of get a feel very much like Amazon. You know, is this guy a good reviewer? Is he just kind of out there?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So
cool. And that's a free application.
Free app.
Free. Jeff, what do you have?
All right. My app today is Photo Timer, which is a very cool little application that lets you set a timer for the camera on your iPhone. And you can also use it. This is what I've used it for. You can use it to take time-lapse images.
Oh, cool.
So you can set it to take a batch of images, tell it how many you want it to take, what the interval between each picture should be, and then set up your iPhone to just take the pictures. And when I've demoed this I've demoed it like in a restaurant where you have all the servers running around crazy busy. And so I'll be at a table near the kitchen, and I'll just kind of prop my iPhone on the table and aim it towards the kitchen and let it take a bunch of shots.
Oh, that's cool.
And then when you're done, you have all of these images that are taken, you know, 5 seconds or 10 seconds apart, whatever. And then when you put them back on your computer, you can string them together into a little movie. But it's a very cool little application.
So is this the one by Code Goo?
I think so. Photo Timer. It's FOTO Timer.
Like Space Timer. Photo Space Timer.
There's a space. I better look it up real quick.
Okay.
Because
it it doesn't say below it that Jeff Gamet downloaded it. So I'm not sure.
It should, because, you know, it's
I think every app that you download should just automatically say, oh, and Jeff Gamet downloaded this one.
You know, I'm betting that there's probably some kind of value in that to my mother.
Yeah, she still thinks you're a dental hygienist.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. Okay, Photo Timer, Mac About Town. It's Jeff Lynch, of course. No wonder it's a good application. Okay.
So I'm looking at the wrong one here.
You're looking at the wrong one.
Photo.
So it's $1.99.
Okay.
It's Photo Timer, one word. It's from Mac About Town.
Okay.
And it got average ratings more than anything else. But you know what? Those average ratings people, they must not have a clue what they're playing with, because it's a really cool application.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, how about if I send you a link?
Could you send me a link? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I can do that because I have technology.
Technology. So it's Photo Timer, one word?
Yes. Photo Timer, one word.
It's spelled correctly?
No, F-O-T-O.
See, that's because I don't listen. I have that problem.
Yeah, I can see where that would be an issue.
Mm-hmm. I see it now.
All right.
And then you IM'd me that and it showed up on my phone. I have push notifications. Just so I can brag. They're fantastic. Do we want to talk about how I have push notifications?
Yes, absolutely. How do you have push notifications?
I'm tight with the Beejive guys. And they said, here's our special build with the push on it. And so, yeah, Beehive, or I keep saying Beehive, it's Beejive.
Beejive.
Yeah. So it just shows up as, I'm probably going to make a movie of this at some point as soon as they give me the go ahead. But essentially, it shows up as an SMS, but instead of in the title where it shows the person's name, it shows the application. So it says Beejive IM. And then it says, Jeff Gamet. And then, you know, comma or quote or what is, parenthesis. I don't know what the two dots. What is wrong with my mind right now?
That would be a colon.
Colon.
Yeah. The funny thing where the can also be something else. Because that's where my mind goes every time you say colon. And then it shows, what you IM'd me. And if I slide, there's a slide to view if you just got the message in. And so it'll bring it up in Beejive. And it works like magic. And the only two things that I don't like is, one, it won't pull the info from your address book card. So in Beejive, you can, just like in iChat, it says Jeff Gamet, instead of your, whatever your name is, Jeff Bacon 27 or whatever.
Great. Now everyone's going to IM me.
Uh-huh. Don't you wish you had Jeff Bacon 27?
How do you know I don't?
No, that's true. So yeah, it doesn't show up as Jeff Gamet. It shows up as, Bacon or whatever, whatever the name is, just because it doesn't pull from the address book. That, and when you do go into the application, because technically the app was closed, the app then pulls in the message as if the push notification has never happened. So that's kind of weird. But I think that's just the way that it has to work. I don't think there's any other way that it could be done. And you can select, what kind of sound you want for it to come in. So, the little pop noise that happens when you get a new IM from somebody when it first comes in. I have it set up to that, and I think that's the default right now. And then, so it'll do that until you go into the application. So it's handy. I've had that on, and I've gotten, a lot of annoying IMs from people.
How's it on your battery life? Do you notice any?
Haven't really noticed. Doesn't really seem to be killing my battery in any noticeable way.
I have a feeling it would
be
annoying, though. So you have it hooked up to your IM, so like, how often is it going off?
Not that often. Because I have it set up to say, on my iPhone as my available message for the most part. So, that, and I didn't make the mistake of you know, letting everybody know what my IM name was. Adam.
Yeah, that would be key. No, most people don't know what my IM name is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Now people are going to go try and figure out what it is. But because I accidentally, the only thing that happened is one time I set up a chat, like a group chat, and I forgot to log into kind of my public IM account. And yeah, bad things ensued. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people got my name from that one little incident. And occasionally I get hounded on that. But no, mostly my IM is pretty.
Yeah, I would go insane if that happened. I already have a bunch of crazy people who IM me.
You know, I feel bad for whoever really does have Jeff Bacon. Because now they're going to be getting hit with all these tweets, and this poor Jeff Bacon guy is going to be...
Jeff Bacon 27, though.
That's right, Jeff Bacon 27. He's going to be looking at all these IMs coming in going, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, so your pick to bring it back and take it in, pull it back, photo timer, FOTOTIMER.
Yes.
That's $199, and it's by a very cool guy named Jeff Lynch.
Yes, it is.
So check that out. And my pick of the week is iFlix, spelled I-P-H-L-I-X. It's $2.99 in the App Store. And this is a Netflix application. So you can set up as many accounts as you want if you are one of those crazy people who have more than one Netflix account. And I didn't really realize that happened. But you can obviously, you know, add to your queue. And both your physical queue and your what do they call it, live queue? What do they call it? Instant. There we go. You can add to your instant queue as well. You can't watch instant titles on the phone, obviously, because there isn't that silly Microsoft thing on there, that Flash thing.
Silverlight.
I truly do have aphasia. I can't think of any of these names. But yeah, so this is it's a very good looking Netflix management application. It tells me, you know, what movies I have at home. What, you know, if I should start looking for them because I can't find them and I didn't realize I had them. It'll tell me, you know what my recent titles are. I can add stuff to the queue either by searching for it or looking at the For You section or just browsing or whatever. So if you're out and about and a friend recommends a movie, you can do the GTD thing and capture that immediately and throw it into your Netflix. So then you'll
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Do you guys have, I assume that you guys have Netflix apps.
Yeah, I'm using PhoneFlix.
PhoneFlix. Is that the free one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just use... I don't really manage mine on my phone too much. I use what's built into iTV, which I think was a pick that I had a while back. I love iTV because it allows me to put things into my Netflix and into my Netflix queue, as well as schedule them to record on my TiVo and what have you. So I just kind of defaulted on that app because it's kind of my like all-in-one movie, TV, media kind of app.
Yeah, I never really liked iTV, I have to say. Is really confusing to me.
For me, it's mostly about the TV scheduling, and then to be able to hit one button and have it record on my TiVo is just awesome.
See, I don't
have that's very cool.
But
so I can see if it's a new show, it has this nice little badge it puts on anything that's new. So if it's not a repeat, it says new right there. I tap it, I hit my little TiVo guy, and boom, it says, how do you want to record it on your TiVo? What priority do you want it in? What quality level? One button, and it's off to record. So,
can you look at Netflix trailers on either of those applications?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
iTV does have movie trailers and stuff like that for some of the content.
Right.
So the way it kind of works is you look up the movies, you find the movie, and then when you're in that movie screen, it usually has a button to add it to your Netflix queue if you want.
Gotcha.
So that's the only way I really use it, because I'll look up a movie and then add it, but I don't really manage my queue on my iPhone.
Yeah, you can.
I haven't found an app for that yet.
Yeah, you can do the deleting and rearranging and all that fun stuff from iFlix, and it looks really nice. So that's obviously the.
Is it free?
No, it's $199 or $2.99. It's $2.99. Yeah, well, I'm sure you could get one. You can get a promo code. You just say, you know, do you know who I am? Jeff, you do that all the time, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking to my parents.
And then you point them to jefforama.com.
Right. Hey, I have a bonus app for everyone today.
Do it.
Which it's Movie Star. And I'm bringing this up because we're talking about Netflix and all that.
Wasn't that your pick a couple weeks ago? Because I think I have that on my phone because of you.
I think we were talking about it. I don't think I actually mentioned it on the show. But this came out of me lamenting the fact that IMDb has a total crap interface, and it's even worse when you put it on the iPhone, and that I'd wish there's a good application for accessing IMDb stuff. And an iPhone LE listener turned me on to Movie Star, and since I don't have my notes in front of me, I'm sorry to whoever it was that told me about this, because I can't remember your name right now, so I'm sorry about that. But it's a kick-ass application. It works really well, and it's free. Movie Star. There you go. IMDb, right on your iPhone.
John Gallagher was the guy who let you know about the Movie Star.
Oh, sweet. Thank you, John. You rock.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks to the Gmail with the search. This is why I don't This is why I don't use mail. Well, I guess you have to pull down all your mail to search for it, right?
Well, I do everything via IMAP.
Yeah.
And I'm searching what I have local and what I have on my IMAP servers. No problem.
Gotcha. Well, can you do cool? This is a total tangent, but can you do the cool, like, Google arguments and stuff like that, and say minus this or, and then do like this or this and all that crazy stuff?
It's not quite that robust.
Okay. See, that's why I like the Gmail.
But I can do a lot of really cool stuff with my searches.
See, that's what I have Mail Steward for.
Okay, Mail Steward's really cool.
All these guys in their email thingies.
Mail Steward basically does a sweep of your Apple Mail every night or on a schedule and dumps it all into a SQL database and then makes it searchable.
Aha.
And it's really fast and awesome. And then you always have an archive. So I can delete anything out of my mail.app knowing that I actually have a backup or a copy in a SQL database that's also backed up by Time Machine and what have you on my system. So I never lose email. It's great.
Did we mention a few weeks ago that Google updated the Gmail interface? If we didn't, well, even if we did, they updated it and it's marvelous now. So, and you can even read email offline and compose offline. It's very cool.
Well, now they have the whole Wave thing, right? So.
The what?
The Wave.
The Google Wave.
What is this?
I have no idea. Somebody told me about it, but it's supposed to make everything a whole lot better with Google.
Mm.
Yeah, if you go to wave.google.com, they have a video showing how it works, and it's supposed to be very cool because it takes all of the search stuff that you do, and I think
Google
it ties
Voice,
into the
Google
Apps.
Your Google email, yeah.
Yeah, and so it makes all this stuff searchable. It makes all of it I just talked myself into a corner. You can collaborate with other people with Google Wave, and it's supposed to be like this incredible thing. Now, if it turns out to be an incredible thing, sweet. And if not, well, then we'll continue to find other ways to do stuff. But it sounds like it has a lot of promise.
Yeah, just Google know guys. That you are being assimilated, and Google is the Borg.
I'm happy to be part of that collective.
You just want 7 of 9.
Yeah. Well, obviously. I mean, she comes with Google Wave, right?
That's what I've heard.
This could turn very dirty very fast. I think that's it, right? We did our picks. It's time to get out of here, right? So talk about iPhoneLE.com is where you get more news, tips, and reviews every day of the week. Sometimes on the weekends because we don't have lives, and you can share tips, and if we we can publish those tips about your iPhone, cool things that you find, we'll post those on in the tips section. Or if you have a product or application that you want us to review, hit that contact link on the side of the page. And if you want to get our iPhone picks in the show notes, you can go to iPhoneLE.com/podcast, and you can send feedback to podcast@iPhoneLE.com. And of course, Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, iPodObserver.com, jefforama.com, thevirusyouwanttocatch.com.
I'm like everywhere. How did that happen?
You're very wired. And yeah, you got the, you're very popular. And it's, of course, twitter.com/jgamut. And Adam Christensen is on the MacCast at maccast.com and twitter.com/maccast.
Yep, that's me.
That's you. And my Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And I don't think we've plugged the iPhone Alley Twitter at all. But if you go to twitter.com/iPhone Alley, you'll get all the stories that we post, all the tips, reviews, all that stuff, all the content. It'll show up in your Twitter feed, twitter.com/iPhone Alley. We got, I think, 7,000 followers now. It's pretty big. Crazy following.
You know who iPhone Alley follows? One person.
Yeah, who would that be?
That would be
Jay Gamut.
No, he should follow at Michael Johnston. I'm trying to figure out why it's not at Jay Gamut.
You know, I'll do that.
At Michael Johnston.
Yeah, I'm just
that's not narcissistic.
Well, who else would it follow?
At Jay Gamut.
Well, hang on a second. Let me do that. Jay Gamut. And then follow. Okay. Happy, Jeff?
Of course I am. Of course I'm always happy.
And with that, another episode of the iPhone LA podcast is in the can.
An iPod. A phone. You know, you can actually get most of your emails down to just a few words. Like, actually, I bet you could do almost all your communication via email with two-word messages. So, you know, someone sends you an email and they're saying, hey, can you be at whatever place at whatever time? We're going to have a party. Sounds good.
We're going to use a stylus.
Hey, Michael, can you come pick me up at Joe's house? I got too drunk at a rave and I think I'm pregnant. Message back, f*** you. See, it just works.
Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck.
I was kind of thinking I should do a t-shirt.
You really should. It just has like your headshot, but like perfectly cut out, like just your head. And then like smiling and kind of tilted to the side and underneath in like rounded text that kind of, you know, is rounded around the bottom of your head. It says Jeff O'Rama.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
I just have an image in my head all of a sudden when you said
that. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers.